This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like to welcome to the Radio Cafe Josh Fox. He is award-winning filmmaker of the Gasland films. His new film is called How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. The film will be screening this Saturday, May 7th at 7 o'clock at the Center for Contemporary Arts. It's a fundraiser for New Energy Economy. Josh Fox will be there. Welcome, Josh, to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So this is a film, a really fascinating and unusual documentary about climate change, pollution, human rights, inequality, love, beauty, resilience, the whole world, tiny parts of the world. And to me, I was watching this film and it kind of asks the question, not only what's happening, which is highly covered in the media in lots of different ways, but how do we respond as media people, as human beings? You are very much part of this film. How did you come to make it? How did the film take shape? Where did you start?
Well, listeners may or may not know, but I made two films about fracking. One is called what's called Gasland. The other is Gasland Part 2. And those films, we went all over the world, which were on HBO, which were nominated for an Oscar, and it was, you know, televised in 30 countries worldwide, you know, made me, you know, kind of a spokesperson on fracking and on stopping fracking, not just in the United States, but all across the world. And when you work on issues of fossil fuels, whether that's fracking or coal or, you know, tar sands, mountaintop removal, offshore drilling, I think that big looming question that happens to you when you start thinking about this is the transformation of our society and climate change. When you're working on any issue related to fossil fuel development, whether that's fracking or mountaintop removal for coal or tar sands or offshore drilling, in the back of your mind and in the forefront of your research ends up being the question of climate change and of the world's energy system, which is based on fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas. And so that becomes very prominent as the big thing. You know, it's like everything seems like a small event compared to the climate. The climate's the big one. And what does that mean? It means that we end up in a conversation about values as they're attached to energy. Oil and coal and gas lend themselves towards tyranny. They lend themselves towards an oligarchy or oiligarchy. You know, they lend themselves toward non-democratic forms of power and structures of power. So I think the film ends up being a conversation about values as a consequence of the need to transform our energy systems because of climate change.
You start early in the film with Hurricane Sandy and its aftermath, and you end in the same place with some of the same people. And it's very interesting to see what happens, because inequality is a huge part of this. As you say, these kinds of mega corporations that control these resources, oil and gas and coal and so on, tend toward a state of profound inequality. And we have that not only in third world countries, but in New York City. What did that look like?
We have that throughout the world. The truth is that climate change and economic and social inequality are fundamentally linked. 50% of worldwide emissions come from the top 10%. So you have a system, economically, it's inextricable, right? But, you know, the film, I got to say, the film starts with this very personal moment, right, of me realizing that this tree that I planted when I was 5 years old is being eaten by a parasite called the woolly adelgid. It's coming up the East Coast and eating all of our hemp forests. And then right after that, yes, New York City gets hit by Hurricane Sandy. And that underscores all of the basic inequalities. Like, even though on the Rockaways, for example, one region in New York that went completely underwater, you have millionaires and billionaires with their beach houses. You have middle-class people. And then in the center, you have extraordinarily poor people. Climate change underscores all of those vulnerabilities so that the rich people can rebuild. You know, the middle-class people can go somewhere else a while. The poor people are stuck in their apartments without water, without electricity, and that went on for months, and that was in the wintertime. So, yes, climate change, one of the things that we worry about is that climate change exacerbates all of our current vulnerabilities in society, and we're living in a society right now that is very, very, very unequal, more unequal than ever before, not just in America, but for the whole rest of the world. So what I worry about is this situation which Naomi Klein calls climate apartheid, where certain people are able to adapt and change and other people suffer and drown. So the film deals with how do we mobilize and how do we process the climate problem in a personal way. You know, the movie is not a stale, dry essay on climate change in any stretch of the imagination. It's an incredible emotional roller coaster that takes you all across the world, that deals with a lot of, I think, the emotions. Like, you know, when you really look at what's going on with the climate, you end up in this kind of death spiral between despair and denial. On the one hand, you feel very despairing because it looks very, very bad for our major coastal cities. You know, if for most, 30 to 50% of the species on the planet will go extinct when we hit 2 degrees, and we're very, very close to 2 degrees of warming Celsius. You know, we're going to see increased drought, increased floods, increased extreme weather events. We'll see sea level rise that swallows up most of the major cities on the East Coast and on the West Coast and worldwide. It's a very, very dark picture. But this film is anything but dark. You know, it opens and closes with a dance sequence. It's about how do we form emotional resilience, and I think we do that through catharsis. So when I get to the moment of total despair and being overwhelmed in the first half an hour of the film because of the information and the science, that moment is a transformational moment for me where I ask the question, well, what are all the things that climate change can't destroy? What are the things that are so strong inside human beings that no storm can take them away? And that when we examine that, that brings me on this cross all over the world journey to 6 continents, to 12 countries, to the deepest Amazon, where people in indigenous environmental monitors are investigating illegal deforestation and oil spills, very perilous and dangerous situation, which we get through, to the Pacific climate warriors who are blockading Australian coal barges with hand-carved traditional canoes, stopping huge barges of coal from leaving port in Australia, to people in China who are, speaking out against the disastrous and apocalyptic environmental degradation, even at the expense of losing their own civil liberties and their own freedom. The movie goes all over the world and it finds example after example of the kinds of virtues that we need to espouse going forward. Moral principles, the moral imagination, the idea that resilience, creativity, innovation, democracy, human rights, community, love, these things can stand in the face of the global system that has been created by oil and gas and coal, that has been created by this sort of whatever you want to call this mega capitalism, out of control, fundamental inequality. You know, and that system is based on greed. It's based on competition. It's based on violence. It's based on racism, consumerism, individualism. What we see in these emerging climate heroes that are portrayed in the film are all the opposite virtues that I just mentioned that are really, really incredibly inspiring. And they offer a solution to the question, what makes human beings worth saving in the first place? Why do we value our own race? Why do we value what humans have done when we are so destructive? And the question comes back resoundingly, culture, art, dance, music, civic virtues. Those are the things that we have to focus on. We have to transform our society, not just our energy system, but our political system. And luckily, that's what's happening inside of so many places right now. And that's what's exciting about watching the film. And that's, I think, what makes it not a doom and gloom exercise, but it also doesn't pull its punches either.
Well, it's very interesting to me because it underscores, I mean, what you're saying and what the film is doing underscores this reality that it's not just a technical fix, like, oh, if we can just get utility-scale solar power plants, everything else can stay the same. But there's actually a cultural transformation, which is potentially a really positive thing.
I think so. And it's true, you know, we're not saying, look, even if we turned off all of everything right now that's emitting stuff, we'd still be in for a wild ride with the climate. We've already warmed the Earth by 1 degree. That we didn't think was so much in the past, but as we found out, we underestimated how finely balanced the planet was. So 1 degree Celsius has gotten everything on Earth that's supposed to stay frozen to start melting. That means the Arctic, that means the poles, that means glaciers. That has increased the wetness in the atmosphere by 5%. That means we have much, much bigger storms. It means sea levels start their rise up and to eat up the coastlines. And as I found out in the film, we already have enough carbon dioxide and methane and other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere now and heat in the oceans to radiate for the next 30 to 40 years to bring us to 1.5 degrees no matter what we do. So we're already at 1.5 degrees, right? So at 2 degrees, we bring about a process of 5 to 9 meters of sea level rise. Now, that doesn't happen overnight, but it's on the way. That means New York City, Boston, Providence, L.A., San Francisco, all of our major coastal cities worldwide are in deep trouble. They need a major overhaul of the entire physical system of the city. Seawalls, you know, I don't know what you do to stop 5 to 9 meters of sea level rise. That's enormous. That puts most of those cities underwater. And it also makes a very perilous situation for any chemical plants, nuclear plants, oil refineries, any gas stations, anything that's toxic that's on the coastline would have to be moved or else it's going to contaminate the oceans. These are incredibly difficult facts. These are incredibly problematic crisis type situation, right? And that's not even all of it, right? We lose the coral reefs. We lose so much of our forests. We lose the integrities of a lot of our ecosystems. This is going to create havoc. At 2 degrees, I think it's the United Nations estimates 780 million climate refugees swarming across international boundaries. So if we don't start to focus on civic virtues, on peace, on community building, on generosity, on resilience, we're going to make that climate crisis much, much, much worse. For example, in Hurricane Katrina, when that city, New Orleans, went underwater, and the mayor said to the population, get on the bridge and go to the suburbs and get out of town, and all these black and poor and middle-class New Orleans folks got on that bridge to walk out and to try to save themselves, only to be met on the other side by white suburban shotguns, racist police force in the suburbs of Louisiana telling them to go back and drown. Now, that was not a climate problem at that point. That was a human rights problem. That was a collapse of American civic virtues. We cannot prepare for the climate crisis by building an extra bunker, by getting an extra round of shotgun shells. We have to prepare for the climate crisis by getting ready the spare bedroom, if you have one, or the extra seat at the table, and open arms so that we greet our fellow human beings with love and respect and dignity as brothers and as family and as community. Because if not, we're talking about a Mad Max apocalyptic situation where all values go out the window. That's what I'm trying to talk about here, because obviously in many ways some of the science is brutal, and it's saying to us, we're too late. But we're not too late to be human. We're not too late to have a sense of who we are and what we want to be as a human race or as a civilization going forward. But if that's, again, not going to be a horrific apocalyptic scenario where we end up destroying ourselves, we have to move away from greed and competition and values as our core values. We have to move towards other core values, and that's what the film is on a mission to do.
We're talking to Josh Fox about his film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. One of the things that's striking about this film is that the form of it and the tone of it and the feel of it are not like a typical documentary with the kind of invisible narrator. You're very much in it. You're going around the world. You bring your banjo with you and you're playing it at different places. The camera work varies greatly from being a very landscape professional kind of thing to feeling like kind of a home movie style. The sound editing is very unusual. How did you come up with this form and how did you choose to do it this way?
Well, I think that my style as a filmmaker with these documentaries is as an investigative journalist. And so that is about me as a journalist going out throughout the world. But at the same time, you know, when I started making Gasland, I made it because all of the land around me was being leased for fracking. And it was my personal story that people seemed to resonate with. And that kind of gave birth to this new way of doing things. I'm an avant-garde filmmaker. I'm experimentalist. I want to make things as alive, as fresh, as interesting, and as honest as possible. You know, I think that when you think about the sort of quote-unquote standard documentary, I think a lot of documentaries these days actually don't start with a set of questions. They start with a set of answers. Like, I'm going to make a film about this issue, and I know exactly what I think about it. That's not what this is. This is a deep inquiry. This is an investigative journalist mission, but it's also an avant-garde and experimental film. Like, you know, a lot of what we think of as sort of standard reporting means that the life inside of it sort of dies or goes to sleep. I like to try to de-define things. Like, what am I really looking at? Like, there's a shot in this film which goes from the most intimate looking into the camera to 1,000 feet away and then comes right back and you see right into my eyes. There are shots in this film that really detail the emotional journey. I think that there's a lot of incredibly beautiful camera work in it by the cinematography unit that is part of our team, you know. But it's all coming out of this very personal involvement. You know, I'm a member of a frontline community fighting against fracking in the Upper Delaware River Basin. That's where this all starts. We won that battle, but I'm still a member of that frontline community. So I have to be both objective as a journalist, experimental and courageous as a filmmaker, but also personally invested because that's what I am and that's what we all are. When we think about climate, we often think about this in sterile scientific terms. That doesn't really do justice to what the subject is about. So we sought to change that.
So you are touring the country showing this movie? What are you doing now?
What is this all about? Well, so with the Gasland films, we put those films on HBO. Thankfully, they were a phenomenal distributor for us, and they were also distributed worldwide on television and in theaters across the world. This film will also have that be on HBO in late June. It is going into movie theaters to the typical places where you might see an indie film in select cities across America. But what we're doing in Santa Fe is something special, which I've done for years now, which is tour. To the grassroots. So the film is working with a grassroots group on the ground that is in the middle of a fierce fight against the fossil fuel industry. In New Mexico, you have the fracking industry run rampant. And New Mexico is one of the most beautiful places on the entire planet. It is a place where there's incredible people, incredible landscapes, incredible natural resources, and I'm talking about aesthetic resources. And a lot of that has been laid waste by the fracking industry. It is so incredibly upsetting to me what has happened in, for example, the northwest corner of the state. It's just frack central. And so when we go to Santa Fe, we go there to help support the anti-fracking movement there, to help support the grassroots groups that are on the ground, rally people, because the only way we really stop the oil industry, the only way we really transform our society is through grassroots development. So this is called the Let Go and Love Tour, for how to let go of the world and love all the things climate can't change. You can find out information about where we're going on that tour at howtoletgomovie.com, because we go to New Mexico, we go all the way up the coast of California, we go to Portland, Seattle, Denver and Telluride, and then we go back to Los Angeles. We're kind of mirroring where the primaries are at because there is this extraordinary thing happening in America right now called the Bernie Sanders campaign, which is a political revolution and a movement of the likes we've never seen for a presidential candidate, and it is incredibly inspiring. So in many ways, because Bernie Sanders is the keep-it-in-the-ground candidate, he's the only candidate that's against fracking, you know, a lot of the time we're talking about what he's up to and what that massive movement is that's uniting behind him, or, you know, with him, not say behind, because it's very quite equal.
Democratic?
But the idea that, yeah, it's very democratic, right? I hate to call it a big tent under Bernie Sanders, because certainly not under anybody. It's like, you know, we're all there working together. So the climate movement, the fracking movement, the people on the ground, that's why we're coming to Santa Fe. We're coming there because we were asked to go there by a community that's in crisis, that's fighting fracking. So when we put out a call across the nation and said, who's out there fighting a pipeline, who's out there fighting fracking, onshore drilling, offshore drilling, we've assembled a list of nearly 100 cities where we're going with Lecco and Love Tour. We've been to 35 places. We've fought power plants. We've fought pipelines. We've fought onshore drilling, offshore drilling, fracking. And we've won a lot of major battles over the last month. We stopped a major pipeline in New York with the grassroots movement called the Constitution Pipeline. We've given plans for 100% renewable energy to Denton, Texas, which was contemplating building two huge fracked gas power plants. And now those plans are on hold while they examine the possibility of going 100% renewable instead. So there's a way that we're interacting with communities. We're supplying them with resources to go 100% renewable. We're giving them an event to rally the troops and get people in the streets to talk about what is happening with the fossil fuel industry in town in Santa Fe. So it's going to be a live night. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to be there. We're going to have community leaders there. We have Gabriel Mayers, who's a musician in the film. He'll be there to play. And I think it's going to be a terrific evening. So these are the kinds of things that it's like part movie, you know, part rally, part conversation, part Q&A, back and forth with the community, part concert, all those things rolled into one. And that's the best context to see these films because, you know, a lot of the information in them can be very scary. We say, don't watch this movie alone, you know, so that you can watch it with the people that you're going to become committed to and working with over the years to come.
Josh Fox is a documentary filmmaker. His 2010 documentary, Gasland, was nominated for an Oscar. His new film is called How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. It's screening this Saturday, the 7th of May, at 7 o'clock at the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.